I do want to talk about the inquiry that began this week into foreign interference and specifically what China has been up to. The Chinese government, we've heard about attempts by China to interfere in Canada's election. We've also certainly heard of intimidation targeting various diaspora communities in Canada. And that certainly includes Uyghur Canadians. We know what's been happening to Uyghur Muslims in China, which is pretty horrific. But for Uyghurs here in Canada, you know, they felt that intimidation as well. So that's why it's so important to make sure that they're able to raise their concerns and safely have their say through this inquiry. But a significant development, because the organization representing Uyghur Canadians is withdrawing from the public inquiry. They've got some serious concerns about how this is all playing out. So joining us to talk about their concerns and why they've decided to withdraw from the process, very pleased to welcome to the program here this morning, Mehmet Todi, who is Executive Director of the Uyghur Rights Advocacy Project. Mehmet, thank you so much for joining us here. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Like I say, this is a significant and concerning development. So why has your organization decided that you cannot participate in this inquiry?
First of all, it is important and a crucial inquiry, and for that reason, we try to contribute for the success of inquiries. And unfortunately, there are three individuals without great concern. They have been granted a full access to all top-level national security documents, classified documents at the same time. They are given a privilege to question witnesses, examine and cross-examine witnesses. And the reason of our main concern is those three individuals warned many times by a Canadian National Security Agency about their deep ties with the Chinese Communist government. And so there is a commission supposed to be investigating the influence of the Chinese Communist Party here in Canada. And the top three individuals who are alleged by CSIS to have a tie with the Chinese Communist Party are granted full standing status. And so it is quite a controversy for us. And just we don't want to be questioned by the officials of Chinese Communist Party when I was in China. And it shouldn't happen in Canada, even there is a strong allegation, and that allegation should be cleaned up first by those three individuals before coming to question us. And for that reason, they're just protesting their presence at the inquiry. And also, they should be at the witness box, not the standing position. And right. Somehow... The victim of interference and the alleged perpetrators are misplaced. And for that reason, we have John.
Well, yeah, and that's unfortunate, but I understand the concern here. So these individuals, as you say, who are alleged to have some ties to China, these individuals now have an opportunity to gain access to confidential information, and more importantly, as mentioned, to question witnesses. So members of the Uyghur community, or other members of the diaspora community, they could potentially then face questions from these individuals, or you know, they would have access to this sensitive information.
Yeah, that's what it is. And most importantly, what we are investigating here, are we investigating the truthfulness or accuracy of statements and the evidence presented by so many parties at stake, or are we investigating the foreign interference through proxies?
Right.
And if we want to investigate and get the bottom of foreign interference, and here are statements and leaked documents made by CSIS and incredible media organizations and others saying that there are top three people, one is senator, one is MP, another one is the provincial politicians with a high level of influence. Already, there are enough documents about them saying that they are loyal more loyal to the Chinese Communist Party and that they are in line with the Chinese Communist Party, that the crucial issue of Uyghur genocide or some others and the relation to Michael's case, they are more in line with the position of Chinese Communist Party than Canada's one. And for that reason, if there is any investigation, that investigation should be focused on those people. And unfortunately, now we are not investigating them, despite CSIS warned all level of governments about their alleged ties to the Chinese Communist Party, and now we are going to totally different direction. And give them full access and grant them that privilege, that is troubling. And so yeah, we don't want to continue in this investigation, and so we submitted all the evidence, and we stand by the evidence we submitted, and it is in the hand of the commissioner. And we did not withdraw those information, and so we don't want to be in the same place with those three individuals.
Understandably so. I mean, tell us more about some of the harassment and intimidation that you faced personally from Chinese government agents.
Yeah, just if you just Google search my name, Mehmet Tohti, and the China is watching, the first the headline piece published on the McLean's magazine in 2007, the headline is Beijing is always watching. And my activities all the time closely monitored by the Chinese government through their proxies and agents in Canada. All the time, major events we undertaken in Canada, and the dates and the program or schedules shared by those proxies in Canada with the Chinese government, so that Chinese government immediately at the same time targeted my family members. So this is ongoing since almost the two decades in Canada, and we have been vocal about that and raised this issue with all level of governments and the parliamentarians, and somehow till up till recently no one took any serious consideration about our complaints. Now, after the Three Michaels case, and we start to focus on the China-related matters, and the genocide is taking place, China blocked all communication from Uyghur Canadians to their family members. Even they cannot call their loved ones by phone, or they cannot send text message. They cannot share any birthday wishes. That is a total blackout still ongoing. And those three individuals never raised a single time about the atrocities, and about the frustration and the suffering of Uyghur Canadians.
Yeah.
And they are better positioned to talk with the Chinese government. Hey, something was terribly wrong, and you should address the thing. And if you remember, Hussein Jalil, Canadian student of Uyghur origin,
right,
abducted by China in 2006 from Uzbekistan and sentenced for life. And those three individuals from Chinese heritage, they are better positioned just to talk to the Chinese government for the release. Never. They never did it. They, in this kind of circumstances, all the time they defended China. And there was a Senate version of Uyghur genocide motion in 2020. I think it was June 2020. The Senator Yuan Powo just spearheaded to dismiss that motion, and saying that Canada doesn't have a right to talk about genocide because Canada has a past of genocide.
Oh.
And that person knows better that, yes, Canada acknowledged it was wrong in the past, mm-hmm, and established truth and the reconciled commission and apologized and tried everything to settle the matter. And where is the same truth and the reconciled the commission in China? The China not only refusing it is atrocity crimes being committed right now against Uyghurs, what the Chinese government is doing? They're pushing and pressuring other countries to praise its genocidal policy. There are 180 degrees difference between Canada's past and Canada's current policy for reconcile and find out the truth, and the Chinese ongoing, stubbornly continuous genocide policy.
Yeah,
that Yuan Powo, who receives the salary from Canadian taxpayers, misusing the fact and accusing Canada every occasion he got. And so we have a huge concern with that gentleman.
Well, much more at your website. It's urap.ca, the Uyghur Rights Advocacy Project. We'll see what Justice Hogg decides to do here, but concerning development for sure. Mehmet, thanks so much for making some time for us here today. Really appreciate this.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.